Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the QuitCast. We are starting a new mini series right now. I'm not sure how long it's going to be, but I would assume about 4 or 5 episodes based on the content we have planned. We are doing a series called The Myths of Marketing. And the purpose of this series is to talk about some common things that we believe and question the premise. And again, those of you who are familiar with our QTP methodology here on the QuitCast, we're going to be doing a question the premise style with some marketing tactics or marketing strategies that are going around to try to help you figure out whether or not this is something that is going to meet your needs as a marketer, and also whether or not it's something that you should be trying. Because again, not everything is for everyone. So the very first myth that I usually do in a series like this is everyone should be able to do everything. I had to pause just for a second to even allow those words to come out of my mouth. It's not something that I ever teach. And also, I think it goes against the actual purpose of being in an industry like this, which is to stand out. Everyone can do everything at a passable level. I'm not even sure that I really believe that. And if you saw me roll my eyes just there, you would know. I'm not even sure that that's possible, just because we do have very clear lacks or weaknesses, things that we're just not able to do. But I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this one because I want to get into the kind of big picture marketing stuff in this series. But I do want to spend just a minute talking about why it's important that I am in the alignment business, specifically because if you think about the quit methodology, right? What to keep, what to quit, and what to question of what we do here at the QuitCast. The super important part of this is an assumption that you can't and shouldn't be doing everything. And I know that even the people who believe in things like that super aggressive growth mindset, which is like the only thing that's standing in front of you is your attitude that you can't do it. Even people who are extremely aggressive in growth mindset will have to acknowledge at some point that there are some things that any one individual person they're working with cannot do. And so even the, I guess what I would call, right, like the people who really buy in to growth mindset, because I'm a growth mindset person. I am a huge growth mindset person where it serves the person in front of me, right? So when there are things that you can actually do and that you have an ability to do, that growth mindset, I like failing, right? Like I was reading yesterday and having this quote of Michael Jordan come up in front of me, which is the quote where he talks about why it's important that failure and success are dependent on each other. And so that idea that if I want to succeed, I have to embrace failure as a learning opportunity. Like I'm a huge proponent of that. What I do not believe is that if you want to do something, all you have to do is want it bad enough. Like want somehow desiring something. If you've heard me talk about the myth of intention in previous videos, or if you've seen me talk about this in public, that myth that if I just want it bad enough, that somehow I'm going to be able to overcome all of these differences in my neural pathways that are firing on instinctive levels in the way that they have been for years and sometimes decades, in a way that I've rewarded them for firing for years and decades, and that one moment of my intention is just going to somehow change that. I've literally never seen evidence of that happening. I have definitely seen evidence of a previous alignment shifting and helping you get where you want to go by aligning with what you are already good at in order to accomplish a task that might be hard for you, right? That's the whole core and foundation of our Write Better Faster, Market Better Faster. But this idea that you should just be able to do anything if you just want it bad enough, like that is a mythology that I want to question with literally every fiber of my being. And those of you who have heard me talk about the experimentation behind the strengths theory before and how the entirety of strengths got started, all of the experiments were about a group of people who had natural capacity for something against a control group of people who did not have a natural capacity, and sending them through the same ability learning process, the same class, right? The same teaching, the same development, and then seeing the people who had a natural capacity get better faster, get to that exponential development capacity. Whereas the people who were, let's call it average at that task, or sometimes below average at that task, were not increasing their growth at the same level. And the repetition of that data, like the pattern of that data, has been replicated so many times, both in the academic / scientific studies and also in my own coaching, that I just don't ascribe to any other growth capacity trend. Like, I just don't see the worth in trying to force myself to be good at things that I'm just never, ever going to be good at. And again, in the Clifton Strengths methodology, I look at anything below about 20 as something I'm not even going to try to reach for. Like, why am I even going to try to develop that? And I know that is my, again, strengths, significance, and maximizer talking. Because for me, I'm always looking for where can I get the biggest bang for my buck, right? Like, where am I going to get exponentially better at something? I want to spend more time there. So hopefully, if you are here in this place, you understand that on a fundamental level. And if you don't, that's fine. Everybody's different. Some people are going to continue, you know, wanting to help that average capacity of theirs get a little bit better and a little bit better, and you will see some growth, and that's awesome. But I prefer to work in like areas where I have a higher capacity to see faster results. And again, if you've heard the speed reader experiment discussion that I give a lot, because it's the easiest, most quantifiable experiment that there is in the arena of this strengths theory, because it has numbers attached to it. And we really easily understand the difference between 190 and 3000. Like, that is a really easy difference. And so when I think about that 3000, that top 1% capacity area, that's where Becca is always going to be focusing on and stretching us toward. Yes, looking at, you know, other things, burnout, et cetera, writer's block, et cetera, where this is in my way, how do I get past it? But for me, when we're talking about where am I going to spend my time, where is my 80-20 rule, right? The place where I want 20% of my efforts to have 80% of my results. How can I spend my time more effectively so that that 20% I'm really packing as big of a punch as I possibly can? And that's what this marketing myth series is going to be about. So I had to first address the fact that I do not believe that anyone can do anything they want to do. I do not believe that want is enough. I think want has to align with other things in order for us to really get to standout capacity. And again, if standout capacity wasn't necessary for us in this industry, if it wasn't so competitive and full, when there's only blue water, which if you know the difference between the blue water versus red water, it's the blue water is where there are no sharks yet. Like, there isn't a lot of blood in the water because there's not a lot of competition. There's just food. And so the red water is a place where there is more competition. It's the difference between a buyer's market and a seller's market, right? Right now in this industry, you have to stand out at things in order to be memorable, in order to be recognized, in order to be talked about. There's just so much competition. All of the water is red. So again, from Becca's perspective, as a strategic maximizer significance, I think, well, how can we get people to spend more time in those places where their standout capacity lies, as opposed to, I hate this and I'm awful at it. And yet everyone says I should do it. If you find yourself saying those words, there's a good chance you need to question the premise of whatever it is that you're hearing. So my goal in this series is for us to question the premise of some of those things that you have likely heard and or are currently hearing so that you can decide whether it's for you or not. Let's start with just because I am me and I couldn't not talk about this. Let's just start with social media. So there is such a push because social media is free in terms of we don't have to pay money for it. So there is such a push for people to be on social media specifically as a way to quote unquote sell books. And it's not that I don't think social media ever sells books. So I want to say that up front, but I do think it doesn't sell books in the way that we think it does. So when you think about that, again, the 80-20 principle, which is, you know, everywhere, hopefully everyone knows what that is. And I don't have to explain it because it's like the oldest in the book, right? But that 80-20 principle where I want 20% of my efforts to have 80% of my results, unless you are a unicorn, which again, some of you listening to this might be, you got in super early on a trend. You happen to be a standout talent at something that helps you to be really good at social media, et cetera, et cetera. Unless you are one of that like smaller percentage of people who is going to really be able to get an 80-20 experience from social media, there's a good chance that social media actually falls into not the 20% that's going to make you 80% of your results, but the 80% that's going to make you 20% of your results. And by nature, those things need to be de-preferenced over the stuff that's going to make you the bigger return. And the reason I say this is because so many of us have this thought about social media that we do not understand we have. We are saying things to ourselves in order to get social media, quote unquote, off the plate for the day. So we say something like, let me just really quick check Facebook. Let me just really quick go on Twitter. Let me really quick open TikTok. Let me really quick open Instagram. And many of us are doing this because we have a business account we're actually going to look at. And we're not aware of just how much that subconscious process, that psychosubsystem. So we're not aware of how much it affects our behavior. We think that's us saying, I want to go to social media. I think that's me because it sounds like me in my head or it feels like me in my head. But the problem is, and I use that big word, that psychosubsystem word specifically because I want us to think about that part of ourselves as a process that is separate from the will to be finished with that task. So if you know anything about either internal family systems or parts theory or any of this, any of those types of things, because there's a lot of work being done that is newer in that area of psychology right now. And so there's a lot of undeveloped or underdeveloped theories because it just hasn't been around for super long yet. And by super long, I mean like some of our psychology theories have been around for more than 100 years. So because there's so much emerging work being done in this area, this is such an important place to understand. The concept of that psychosubsystem is that the subsystem, the sub part, is it's not the dominant part, right? It's not the major or only part. It's not you are not only one thing inside your head. You are collections of neural pathways that each, some of them have their own will. Like some of them want things. And this is again, why you say, I want this, even though I know it's bad for me. It's that that is a neural pathway that's firing, that has been firing for a reason, that is being rewarded for firing, that is separate from and distinct from, and this is the important part, another part of you that thinks, I don't want that. We shouldn't do that. And those two things can exist together at the same time. And you can think and feel both of them and not be crazy and not be stupid and not be disintegrated. Like, you can still be an integrated whole person and also have parts of yourself that don't agree with each other, because not all parts of your internal self are wholly dependent on each other. So what do I mean by that? I mean, it's possible for me to have a part of myself that says, I want that cookie, and a part that knows that cookie is not good for me at the same time. Those can coexist inside of me. Neither one of them is bad or wrong. They just can coexist and have opposing thoughts, because that's how, again, depending on what you call it, but I prefer to think of them as internal systems. Like, psychosubsystems is my favorite word for those, because I think parts can tend to make us feel like there's like a separate part of me that I need to disintegrate. And I don't like that. And again, in IFS, internal family systems, they would also say that's, we don't want to disintegrate your parts. We need to think of them as unified. So the reason that I use the word systems or neural nets or psychosubsystems is because it's easier for me in my head to think of them as, I guess, things I can't control on some level, rather than thinking of them as like a person or a thing that doesn't like me, because, and we'll talk about that later. But anyway, the reason this, all of this language is so important to me is because the part of myself, the psychosubsystem that says, I think we can do this really quick, and also the logical part of my internal self, which knows I am not going to really quickly do anything on Facebook. That's not possible for me. Both of those can exist as wise parts in my head, and at the same time, both not be dependent on each other. So, and what that means is they can exist and fire and be completely opposing and also not cancel each other out. So just because this is speaking to me or this neural net is firing does not mean that it's true or wise or logical. And this is where the, if you're interested in more, I suggest that you go and talk to an IFS counselor or someone who is like a therapist, a psychologist, because that therapy level stuff is not an area where I have any desire or specialty in or desire to be in. But what I do like to think about internally for myself is that the part of me that says I can really quick go on Facebook, that particular psychosubsystem, I have been rewarding for years, since 2005 or 2006, since I got on Facebook for the first time. I have been rewarding that part of me that is like, yes, let's do this. Let's go on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, like whatever social media I'm doing. I have been rewarding that by continuing to listen to it and therefore making it deeper and making it more integrated. I always think of the neural nets as rivers, right? So every time I let the water flow down it, it gets a little deeper and it gets a little more embedded. And this is, again, referencing the earlier discussion, that consistent firing is part of why I want to work with strengths rather than against them, because I would rather work with the places that my brain is already firing than try to somehow make new pathways and then have to fill in all those old places, which is a lot of work. Anyway, side note, but where it is really important for me in questioning the premise of this marketing myth that just because social media is free, that means you should spend time doing it, or that for some reason it should be a priority for us, is a fundamental misunderstanding of what happens to our brains when we are on social media. It is so much more like training ourselves to respond to a drug than it is like an intentional choice of me using this thing. And it's using this tool. And it's because of the way that we have trained ourselves over time, and the fact that our friends or people we like or things that are fun for us are also in those places. Because then we start to confuse the fact that I should go on social media quickly to answer questions with the fact that my friends are there, or I like this place, or I get rewarded for being here. And then it becomes a little bit like the experiments, right, with mice or something, where they're giving you a treat at the end of the maze. And so you just keep going down because you keep wanting that reward. So the problem with this mythology about free social media being such a great thing, and we should take advantage of it as much as we can, and we should be everywhere, which I feel like has been deconstructed enough. You don't need to hear from me about that anymore. But I do want us to think about how we prioritize and preference the actions that we do, because the earlier in your day, for most of us, for somewhere around 80% of us, which is not everyone, but for most of us, once we let ourselves into those open loops where there is no end to the information, it is so much harder for us to get out. And the problem is, the part of ourselves that says, I can do this really quick, is also the part that knows it's not going to be really quick. It's not telling us the truth. It's telling us whatever it has to tell us to get us to engage in that activity, because it just wants that thing. It wants whatever, my friends to validate me. It wants to be heard. It wants to understand. It wants to know the information. It wants to see what's new, right? Whatever it is that's causing that hit to happen, it knows that in order to get that, this is what it has to say to you. So I want you to hear me. It's not a bad part. It's not a bad thing. We don't want to shame it. We don't want to get angry at it. We just want to acknowledge that it's operating independently from the part that knows that you don't have control when you go on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, right? Because you know from times past, you have seen what happens when you open Facebook and then, or Twitter or anything. And then you look back and it's 2 hours later and you've forgotten what you even came here for, because you got caught up in that open loop. And again, if you want to learn more about open and closed systems, we'll put a note back to an old video that we did about open and closed systems. But so if you have that open loop, and you go into it, then it's going to continue to be something that your brain wants to do. And it's going to keep bugging you for that really quick hit all day long. And it takes like going to sleep or doing some kind of a cleansing activity to get yourself out of there. Or it takes a lot of external pressure, because it can be modified if there's enough external pressure for you to not gratify that impulse. So what we want to do is we want to question the premise of whether or not the marketing on social media is necessary for you to do, and whether or not you are the type of person who can very quickly go on social media for 10 minutes. You don't even really like it. You just go there and you come back. And then again, like in our Market Better Faster class, we question whether or not you should even be doing social media as a way to engage your fans if you don't like it that much, like whether it's actually a good thing for you to do or not. And I think Crystal and I come down on slightly different sides on that one, because I do think that, like a lot of marketers, and I trust her on this one, that she believes that at least some social media is kind of necessary for any platform, at least a presence. And I will gratify like at least a presence, at least have an account on Facebook or whatever, Twitter, whatever. But there's so much danger involved in not understanding the difference between I can do this really quick is truthful, and I can do this really quick is not truthful. So when I say really quick is a lie, the reason I want us to repeat that to ourselves and remind ourselves of that is because in that moment, it's more likely that it's not actually telling you the truth. It's telling you whatever it has to tell you to get you to go and gratify that impulse. And so I just want us to be conscious about it and aware of it. Do I need social media? Again, like I said, Crystal and I might come down on a little bit different sides. A social media presence, like she would say, because it's free, because it's, you know, it's part of the 80% of work that's going to give you 20%. That doesn't mean it's giving you nothing, just means it's only giving you 20%. So we want to spend as little time as possible doing that type of work, the less prioritizable work. And that really is the core of this marketing myth, is we want to spend as little time as possible doing things that don't move the needle a ton. That's just the goal. That's all we want to do in marketing. So when we continue this series, we're going to pull our Patreon community and see which ones of the videos that we've been planning they want us to do. But this was one that I wanted to do regardless, because I feel like this is one of the things that has been coming up a lot in coaching over the last 6 or 7 months, especially as it pertains to the fact that we're heading into another election cycle in the United States, the fact that we're going to start being inundated with a lot of advertising. So we are heading into a time when everyone is very concerned with catching and keeping your eyeballs. And I always think of our eyeballs as having dollar signs over them. And if any of you have ever seen the Care Bears movies, where like the Care Bear stare is them pushing what's on their stomach out. And when they stare at someone, they yell Care Bear stare. And then all of that goes out towards whatever goal they're trying to, you know, make into a better person or make happy or whatever. I always think of our eyeballs as having dollar signs that go out from our eyes like the Care Bear stare. And wherever those dollar signs are pointed is who's going to get the money from our attention. And if we allow someone else, like a social media company, to capture our attention consistently, instead of putting our eyeballs on our manuscripts or putting our eyeballs on things like our newsletter or whatever, wherever it is that you get your most bang for your buck out of on your platform, I want my eyeballs to be looking at those things as often as possible and not looking at giving dollar signs to someone else. Like, I want to give the dollar signs to myself. And again, not that money is everything. And so that's not what I'm saying. But if I'm going to give dollars to someone, I want to make sure that I'm doing it consciously. I want to make sure that I'm doing it consciously. Okay. I'm going to stop now because I have been talking for a long time. And I want you to think about this for yourself. The next time you go on social media, in the morning especially, I want you to think about the dollar signs in your eyeballs and whether or not you want to give a lot of those dollar signs to whatever company is getting them from you over time. Today, that's all I want you to think about. That's it. So if you can, by any chance, just decide to put off, you don't have to say no, you don't have to go cold turkey, just put off going to those places until after you have had some time to just be your whole complete wise self for like some time. If you are a morning person and want to write in the morning, that's awesome. If you're not, and you want to do other things like read a book or listen to a podcast or whatever, I'm fine with those things. But what I want us to just think about for now is how much time we spend doing that 80% of stuff that's only getting 20% of our results. And most of social media for most of us is that when we were breaking down after the last discussion on the Patreon that we had about marketing, we were breaking down on the per book sold, how much of my time is going into making the social media content that I get, how many books sold from, like, what is the cost per hour of my time and how is that yielding results on social media? And while the purpose of social media is not always to sell books, sometimes it is deeper reader engagement. And that's a very different reason to be doing it. But if the goal is only books sold and you're looking at how much time it's taking you to sell books by hand on a social media platform versus how much, if those same hours went back into writing more books or into doing other things that are in your 20% of time, that's going to make you 80% of your results, how much better spent would that time be? And that's a question that I always ask people. It's not don't do this or do this. It's not either of those things. I'm sorry. I'm really just an adolescent at heart, right? It is absolutely do the things with intention when you can do them and know what you're doing instead of doing things and thinking that you're in control, but really being controlled by a subconscious process that doesn't have your best interests at heart. Again, not that it's a bad thing. It just, it wants what it wants. It wants the dopamine. That's what it wants. Again, patreon.com/BeccaSign. And we hope that you enjoy this upcoming series, and we will see you on the next QuickCast. Bye, everybody.